some versions of the story of the Garden of Eden, there is a third person, a mysterious vampiress. The story of this dark queen can be traced all the way back to 2700 BCE. There are endless myths and legends of her that connect to several religious texts. She's known to wear many faces and is too complex to put into a box. She's also one of the oldest surviving mythological beings in all of Abrahamic mythology. This is the story of Lilith, aka the first documented vampire. Hello, everybody, and welcome back to another episode of Perplexity, a Mystery Podcast. As always, I am your host, Kadra. If you're new to the show, hello and welcome. I tell tales every single week that have perplexed me. So if you love a good mystery that leaves you wanting more, don't worry, you're in the right place. And if you end up enjoying today's episode all about the Lilith, I would love if you continue to follow along. And if you are a returning listener, hello, my friends. Welcome back. I am in such a good mood today. I have not recorded in so long because we did like the Halloween collaboration and I did like some batch guest recordings. So I'm super excited to be sharing this story with you guys today. With that being said, I am behind on several announcements. So I'm going to go through those really quickly. If you want to skip these announcements, you can check the timestamp and skip ahead a couple of minutes. But I wanted to let everybody know that I was recently on Let's Not Meet, Andy Tate's amazing show. He was in my collab recently for 150 episodes, but go check that out. We did a live show and then he put that on his feed. So I'm reading a creepy story. So that is Let's Not Meet. And I also just have had tons of stuff coming out lately on patreon.com/perplexitymysterypodcast. I just did a recap of the Perfect Neighbor documentary, which has never, like, I don't remember a documentary ever making me that angry. It's insane, but it's an incredibly important documentary to watch. And I recapped it with my friends Cassidy and Amanda from Drinking the Kool-Aid. I did some ghost hunting at Fort Concho in San Angelo. So that whole hour-long investigation is on Patreon as well. And it was delayed, but finally recapped A Deadly American Marriage from Netflix, the murder of Jason Corbett, or the death, let's say that, the death of Jason Corbett. So go check that out if that interests you. And speaking of Patreon, I would like to welcome my newest patron, Blue Dawn. Welcome to the Perplexed Society. Thank you so much for joining. And you put your name in your address, but you didn't put it in like your username. So I didn't want to say your name if you didn't want me to. So let me know if you do want me to shout out your name and I'll do that in the next episode. But Blue Dawn joined at tier one, so they're going to get early and ad-free episodes. And my side stories series, which is where I just do like random ramblings with guests. So thank you so much for joining and supporting the show. And last but certainly not least, you guys, I have a theme song now. You just heard it, a little snippet of it at the beginning. And at the end of today's episode, I will play the full theme song. I'll have a new voiceover over it. But that was created by my friend Patrick Thompson, and he killed it. I told him I wanted something like Unsolved Mysteries-esque meets Halloween, like the movie Halloween. And I think he did such a good job. And it's nice because now we have just our own original Perplexity theme song. So I hope you guys like it. I hope you enjoy it as much as I do. But I think that is all of my announcements now. So with all of that out of the way, let's get into this episode about Lilith. I do want to issue a trigger warning. We'll be discussing some content that could be considered disturbing to some listeners. Lilith is a vampiress, so there is an element of cannibalism, blood sucking, things of that nature. So listener discretion. And as always, all the sources that I used for today's episode will be down in the show notes, but I did read a book for this case, so I do want to just shout that out. The book is called Embracing Lilith by Mark H. Williams, and it was a pretty quick read and gives, I think, a lot of context to Lilith because Lilith has been labeled a she-demon, and because of that, she's very often demonized. But there are a lot of different opinions about who Lilith was, and this episode is extremely similar, and Lilith has some similarities to Hecate, the goddess of witches. I talked about her last Halloween, and we talked about how she's been misunderstood. So, you know, a woman being misunderstood in society, what else is new? But I loved learning about Lilith so much, and I hope you guys enjoy. So let's get into the story of Lilith. There are varying opinions on who Lilith is, adding to her mystique. In some parts of the world, she's the queen of all things beyond the veil, the ruler of fairies, elves, sprites, and nymphs. To others, she is a she-demon, evil, cruel and dangerous, overtly sexual, and a bringer of horrific things like disease and death. Lilith has been documented in Sumerian text, the Epic of Gilgamesh, the Hebrew Torah, and the Talmud. Her depictions have evolved over the centuries, starting as a minor character in Sumerian and Jewish texts, then transforming into a central mythology character over time. In modern times, Lilith is a popular figure in modern paganism. She's often seen as a feminist icon, and her likeness has been featured in tons of TV shows, movies, and books. For example, in the Chronicles of Narnia, the White Witch is actually a descendant of Lilith. There's also the vampire Lilith in True Blood, and Lilith was the first human to be tempted by Lucifer in the hit TV show Supernatural. She also appears in a variety of video games, like Borderlands, Diablo, Final Fantasy, Darksiders, and Devil May Cry. It's widely believed that Lilith was first documented in the Epic of Gilgamesh around 2700 BCE. Her name comes from the Sumerian word Lilitu, which is a class of female wind spirits. Some say Lilith is the goddess of wind and storms. Researchers say it's controversial whether or not she should be classified as a demon or a dark goddess, but we do know that Lilith has a clear relationship with witchcraft. She's described incredibly similar to Hecate, as well as the goddess Ereshkigal, the queen of the underworld. Greek lore has Lamia, the daughter of Hecate. Lamia, like Lilith, had an appetite for children. She also fell victim to lust, and as a result, her children were killed as punishment. She was then transformed into a monster. And in some versions of this story, Lamia sucked the blood of young, handsome men or children. In Mesopotamia, there is the story of the Shittim cult. The Shittim practiced human sacrifice and worshipped winged beings, including Lilith and Pazuzu. I've also talked about Pazuzu before. We talked about him in my Ouija boards episode last Halloween when we discussed the urban legend of Zozo, the Ouija board demon. Pazuzu is believed to be a malevolent Mesopotamian god, and many legends depict Lilith as being his lover. Other legends claim Asmodeus, the king of demons, was Lilith's lover. Asmodeus is mentioned in the Book of Tobit, the Talmud, and other scriptures. In all cultures, Lilith has become associated with chaos, sexuality, magic, and vampires. There is the legend of Lamashtu, the Akkadian demon or malevolent goddess. She is considered the alter ego of Lilith. Lamashtu's father is Anu, the sky god. Lamashtu is known as the goddess with seven names and is considered to be multifaceted, with the personalities of seven different witches. An ancient Babylonian poem actually describes the seven evil spirits of Assyria, which are believed to be linked to Lilith. The poem reads, "Seven gods of might, seven evil demons of oppression, seven in heaven and seven on earth, spirits that menace heaven and earth, demons like raging bulls, great ghosts, ghosts that break through all houses, demons that have no shame, seven are they. Knowing no mercy, they rage against mankind. They spill their blood like rain, devouring their flesh and sucking their veins. They are demons full of violence, ceaselessly devouring blood." End quote. So obviously there's a very, very heavy vampiric element to this, And I think that is a big reason why Lilith is still so popular. Vampires are still very culturally iconic. And like I said, she's become a feminist icon as well. With her connection to Lamashtu, Lamashtu is known to hate children and be a bringer of disease, miscarriages, and nightmares. She's also the only Mesopotamian demon who acted independently, not under the command of any god, which I thought was really, really interesting and really points to the power that Lamashtu has. Lamashtu killed foliage, infested rivers and streams, and she bound the muscles of men. Lamashtu is portrayed as a lion or a bird-headed female figure, kneeling on a donkey, holding a double-headed serpent in each hand, and sometimes she is suckling a dog on her right breast and a pig on her left breast. There is also a very popular incantation against Lamashtu. This reads, "Great is the daughter of heaven who tortures babies. Her hand is a net. Her embrace is death. She is cruel, raging, angry, predatory. A runner, a thief is the daughter of heaven. She touches the bellies of women in labor. She pulls out the pregnant woman's baby. The daughter of heaven is one of the gods, with no children of her own. Her head is a lion's head. Her body is a donkey's body. She roars like a lion, and she constantly howls like a demon dog." End quote. So obviously these depictions of Lamashtu are incredibly upsetting and dark, horrifying. So you can understand how Lilith could be painted in this incredibly negative and scary way. But it's a lot more complicated than that. In the legends of Lamashtu, she's a vampire demon, plaguing women during childbirth and causing them to miscarry. She would also sometimes kill and eat men or children, sucking out their blood and marrow. In the ancient Hebrew Bible, or the Midrash, Lilith was actually known as Adam's first wife before Eve. There are actually two creation stories in the book of Genesis. Rabbis have actually hypothesized the first creation was of Adam and Lilith, and that they both came from clay, but things didn't work out between them because Lilith refused to be controlled by Adam. And so, Yahweh then created Eve, taking a rib from Adam's side. Because Lilith refused to be controlled by Adam, Lilith has often been labeled the first feminist. This movement claims that Lilith was unfairly demonized, similar to other women in history who questioned the patriarchy. In the Midrash, Adam wanted to dominate Lilith. She wanted to be on top during sex, and he wanted her to be underneath. But Lilith refused, believing herself to be equal to Adam. After all, they both were created together from clay. So Lilith flew east of Eden to the Red Sea. Three angels then came to her, demanding that she return to Eden at once and be with Adam. If Lilith didn't listen, the angels would destroy her. But Lilith laughed and reminded the angels that she was integral to creation. She was too powerful and valuable to destroy. And if she was destroyed, everything else outside of God would also cease to exist. The angels were not expecting Lilith to argue with them. And so ultimately, they let Lilith go. According to some legends, though, they demonized her after this refusal. And so in this story, this is when Lilith got this negative connotation. It was because she didn't listen to these angels and submit to a man. And when Lilith found out that God created Eve and basically replaced her, she became enraged. She started to create demonic babies and vowed to kill all of Adam's children. God, in retaliation, sent the three angels back to find Lilith, and they started killing all of her offspring. Adam and Eve's children were also given amulets with the three angels' names for protection against Lilith. And eventually, Lilith and the angels came to a truce. Other legends say the serpent in the Garden of Eden that tempted Eve was actually Lilith. And Lilith has even been mentioned in the Dead Sea Scrolls, in a text titled Songs for a Sage. It's believed this text was actually used in ancient exorcisms. The text reads, quote, And I, the sage, sound the majesty of his beauty, to terrify and confound all the spirits of destroying angels and the bastard spirits, the demons, Lilith, and those that strike suddenly, to lead astray the spirit of understanding, and to make desolate their heart." End quote. There's also ancient texts that describe Lilith as being intrinsically joined with Samael, the archangel in Jewish and Talmudic lore. In these texts, Lilith is tied to Samael, like Adam was tied to Eve. In other texts, Lilith is seen as more of an associate. Lilith was also known to torment men in their dreams. There are descriptions in occult literature that describe how a man could divorce himself from Lilith so she wouldn't take his seed, meaning his semen, during the night, along with instructions on how to protect their babies from Lilith. Lilith wanted their seed to spawn more demonic babies. This lore is what makes Lilith one of the earliest versions of a succubus. Archaeologists have even found bowls that were placed face down in the corner of old Jewish homes containing a divorce decree against Lilith. According to this belief, Lilith's spirit would then be trapped inside the bowl, protecting the household. If you've read the Christian Bible, then you'd be familiar with the story of the plague in Egypt. There's a myth in which it was Lilith who was the spirit of death during the Egyptian plague, killing the firstborn of anyone who did not have their door protected by lamb's blood. And this, to me, is just a fun fact. The word lullaby is actually derived from an ancient word meaning Lilith away, and mothers would sing this to their kids in the hopes of protecting them. Other Kabbalistic stories refer to two Liliths, Lilith the Elder, who we just talked about, and Lilith the Younger. I'm sorry if I say this wrong. Lilith the Younger was the daughter of Quaft Zephoni, the prince and king of heaven. In this version, Lilith was married to Ashmedai, the king of Shadim. Shadim are demons composed of human souls. Later texts describe the two Liliths battling each other, possibly out of jealousy. It seems that Lilith is directly tied to the creation of both light and darkness. She is duality. She's the dark mother, the black bride, the divorced woman, the part of us that knows what it's like to seek revenge, to feel alone and hurt, to feel independent and powerful. And Lilith has done it all. She's part of the dark forces and evil that entered the world, but she's also part of creation and therefore is vital. She's been painted as bad by many, but to many who practice paganism, she is worshipped, and she's seen as a woman who got a bad reputation. She's neither good nor evil. She simply is, like many things in the world. So now that we know more about Lilith, let's get into what is always my favorite part of episodes like this, encounter stories. This first encounter comes from the paranormal subreddit, and it is from user Control-Delete1988, and they titled this post, "A Visit from Lilith." In my late 20s, I got a position as a chef in a professional kitchen. And as some of you may know, there are always some characters that work BOH. There was one guy, let's call him E, who was around my age that immediately gave off woo-woo vibes. He was super into alchemy, numerology, religion, meanings, and symbols. Stuff that was very out of my wheelhouse, but I enjoyed listening to his ramblings. Soon after starting my job, I moved into a huge house that was built in the 1920s that had been recently renovated and split into two apartments. The upstairs, where I lived, and the downstairs, where no one lived. It was definitely a weird layout, but it was huge for the price, a great location, and I loved the quirkiness of it. There was a grand front staircase and a back staircase that ended at a little mini door that led into the backyard, random doorways, lots of twists and turns, old fragile French doors, a clawfoot tub, weird cubby holes, a big deck off one of the bedrooms, and tons of old windows, even in the closets. Sorry, this is me talking. I feel like this is a bit of a humble brag, and this is like, you're describing my dream house. This sounds amazing. So, okay, back to the story. It sort of reminded me of that weird maze house in California, only located in OKC. Around that time, I was also just beginning to get into wine. I knew absolutely nothing about it, but I figured as a chef, I should have some knowledge, and I would grab a random bottle every Monday to try out the following Friday. This is relevant for later. I had only lived in my place for about 2 full days at this point when E came up to me during the middle of our shift and said that I was going to get a visit tonight. Thinking that he was trying to invite himself over to hang out, I jokingly pressed, "Oh yeah? By who? You?" His face showed zero emotion, and he just muttered, "Lilith," and walked off. I sat there for a second and thought to myself, "I don't know a Lilith. Never recall even hearing that name before. Does she work here?" Eventually, I just brushed it off as another weird rambling from E and went on about the rest of my shift. So we finished up, got out of there around 3 p.m., and I headed home to kick off my weekend with a nice hot meal and a glass of wine. I walked through the front door that was self-locking once it shut, up the stairs, through the second front door, yes, really, and then I headed down a long hallway to my bedroom that was the very back room at the opposite end of the house. I went in and I changed. As I was finishing up, I decided I would do a takeout dinner. I ordered some food from a Greek place just a couple blocks away, got in my car, and I was back home within 10 minutes. I sat on the couch enjoying my meal, and I ended up cracking open my bottle of wine and starting a movie. After only a few minutes, I got a little chilly. Lots of windows, I tell ya. I headed towards my bedroom to grab some socks and a blanket. I could see the door to my bedroom from the couch, and it was shut, just as I had left it. I could not believe what I saw when I opened that door. My dresser, a 5-foot-tall, heavy, full wooden antique dresser that was once up against the back wall, was now on the ground. Not only was it on the ground, but it had somehow turned a complete 180 degrees to where my drawers were facing up, and all of the contents, my clothing, some art pieces, etc., were thrown everywhere all over the room. I couldn't move. I don't even think it was fear at that point. It was such an impossible scenario that I was staring at, and my brain was not processing it. Eventually, I snapped back to reality and freaked out. How the hell did this happen? I would have heard it. It had to have happened in the literal 10 minutes that I was gone grabbing my food. And how did the dresser flip over? That is impossible. It would be one thing if it just fell over, but in order for the drawers to be facing up, my spine ran cold. Someone did this. Someone angry. Someone who was still in my house. But the door self-locks. But what if it didn't this time? I called my boyfriend, who lived down the street, to come over right now. He was there within minutes, and we proceeded to search the house. Every closet, every cubby, the back staircase, the little door. Everything was in its place. Everything was just as I had left it. All the access to the outside was locked and bolted. I could not process this. It made no sense. Why just the dresser in the very back of the house? The most complicated room to get to, and nothing else. I had no answer. I just shut myself down, tried to be as pragmatic as I could in the situation, and I began cleaning up the mess. My boyfriend helped, as the dresser was too heavy for me to lift up alone, and then decided to stay the night to help calm my nerves that I was trying to ignore. After finishing up, we settled down on the couch to finish my movie and finally have a glass of wine. I poured my glass and I handed the bottle to my boyfriend. He remarked that the label was sort of creepy looking, with the imagery of a winged woman with a crow's head. I looked over and I noticed the name on the bottle, Lilith. End quote. Whoever posted this, I think E was messing with you. From everything I've read about Lilith, like, yes, I know some people say she's like a goddess of chaos, but I feel like this doesn't really fit her MO. If there are people who practice paganism that are listening to this and disagree, like, please correct me. Let me know in the comments. But I feel like this is more of E practicing some sort of ritual or curse or magic and messing with this person. I don't know, because it just seems so random. Like, why knock over a dresser? And the wine thing, though, is super, super creepy. And again, I'm jealous of this house. I want to live in this house. This next story is from the Demonolatry Practices subreddit, and it is from Reddit user Tarot Student. Hello. I recently made an offering to Lilith, and something happened again. I want to know if anyone might have any idea of what this could be. Maybe it's Lilith telling me that now is not the right time and pushing me away. I don't exactly remember what led me to worship Lilith, but I started pretty recently. And at first, she felt very welcoming. I was dealing with trauma from abuse, and I felt deeply wounded. I did some meditations with her, and everything went well. I had an incredible dream where someone aggressively pushed me to the ground. And then she came up with both gentleness and firmness and helped me back up. I took it as her telling me that I didn't have to feel abandoned and that I wasn't alone. But things changed a few days later. I would always pray to her and sometimes meditate, but then, before going to sleep, I started feeling this heavy sensation. It felt a lot like anxiety, but also not quite. I would just sleep through it until one night, something bizarre happened. It felt like a half dream, as if I were half asleep and half awake. I felt a very strong presence at the foot of my bed. It was masculine, that I'm sure of. It felt like it filled the entire room. It wanted to touch me, but it did not. I was terrified and a little excited. It was strange. If you're wondering whether it was just another dream from my mind, definitely not. I know what my usual dreams feel like and what they're about, including erotic ones. And I've been visited by entities in dreams before. I know the difference. The following night, I spoke to Lilith and asked her for protection, and nothing else happened until last night. Yesterday, I made an offering to her and I apologized, not just for being somewhat distant lately, but also because my mom interrupted one of our conversations. Lilith told me she had forgiven me. We were also talking about shadows, the parts of ourselves that we are ashamed of and we try to reject. We also talked about my abuser, who has already passed away, and how he always seemed like an inherently bad person. I finished the offering and went to bed as usual, and then it started again, that heavy feeling, almost like a kind of fear. I also got a stomach ache, and that could have been because I ate some questionable food before bed. LOL. This morning I woke up, and the feeling is still here. So here I am. Does anyone have any idea what this could be? I know Lilith can be both light and darkness. Could this be her trying to tell me something? Or could it be something else interfering? Am I just worrying over nothing? Is it normal to feel this way after contacting her? I did a ritual with Booer recently, and it went great. His energy is very gentle, so it couldn't have been him. Should I do a cleansing and a banishing ritual? Does anyone have a good one for this kind of situation? End quote. This is the thing, and again, this is my opinion, this is the thing about performing rituals. In my opinion, you don't know what all you're inviting in, and it's all about intention. So if you have these, like, dark things in your spirit that you're dealing with, like trauma from an abuser, for example, you might tap into something dark. And like we've been talking about, Lilith is very multifaceted. There are stories about her plaguing people with nightmares, though it's usually men. And I don't know for sure, but I'm getting the vibe that this person who wrote in was a female. So I don't know, but, you know, proceed with caution. I think we talked about that with Hecate also, but when you're opening yourself up to rituals like this, some people say they have an incredibly positive experience and that Lilith has helped them so, so much. But I think it's just good to keep in mind that there are other things that come with it, because Lilith is too complex to be put into any box. The origins and developments of Lilith's story are anything but simple, and she is arguably one of the most remarkable figures in the entire history of Abrahamic mythology. So Lilith definitely has a legacy. There's parts of her that I find really cool and inspiring. I love the whole feminist aspect and her not catering to Adam because they both were created together. And there are a lot of legends that demonize her, and a lot of people understandably find that frustrating. So all of that to say, there's definitely some quote-unquote scary, upsetting aspects about her, but she's also just like very independent and strong. And a lot of people who follow her have talked about how she's really helped them with their confidence and their self-worth. She has some connections with shadow work, which I've done some shadow work myself, which is just where you're journaling and you're doing like mindfulness exercises and building awareness of like these darker parts of yourself, because everyone has them. And instead of shaming them, which can make it even worse, you build an understanding and a respect for them. So I think Lilith is pretty cool in some aspects as well. And Lilith's legacy and the stories of those who have encountered her is certainly perplexing. So that, everybody, is today's episode all about Lilith, the vampiress, the ancient Mesopotamian goddess, and some people see her as a she-demon. I was planning on doing this episode during October. I thought it would be very fitting, but there was just way too much going on in October. But I think this still fits, and Halloween just ended to me. So I hope you guys enjoyed this episode. If you did, be sure to let me know. Drop a comment down below if you are watching on YouTube, or you can also drop a comment on Spotify. And I would love if you guys just continued to follow along with the show. I've got some cool stuff coming this month, and yeah, I just appreciate you all so much. You all are amazing. I hope you have a great week. Please stay safe. Enjoy the theme song that I'm about to play for you all, and I will talk to you next week. Bye. Perplexity, a Mystery Podcast, is hosted, written, and produced by me, Kadra Brannon. This show is proud to be a part of the Black Cat Network. Assistant editor is Charlie Leopold. Assistant producer is TJ McRae. Theme song by Patrick Thompson. Music for this episode is from Pixabay. If you enjoyed today's episode, leave a 5-star review wherever you get your podcasts. If you have a story to share or a topic request, email perplexitymysterypodcast@gmail.com. Contact, support, and merch links can be found in the episode description. And you can always unlock early and ad-free episodes and exclusive bonus content by joining the Perplexed Society at patreon.com/perplexitymysterypodcast. Until next week, stay curious.